Welcome to Hope on the Rise. My name is Peter Englert. I'm one of the co-hosts of this show. We are here today with the man who is behind this podcast already, not just Dr. Bob Roden, but Bob Farlow. And we figured we'd get his story, but also he's close friends with Bob Roden. So Bob, without further ado, what are you looking forward to most with talk with Bob Farlow?
Hey, thanks, Peter. It's always good to see you as well. And it's great to be here with my friend Bob Farlow. Now, from my generation, we had a tendency to call people by their last name. For instance, I have a friend named Dick Foth. I just called him Foth. And for Farlow, it's Bob Farlow. I always called him Farlow. So you'll pick that up in our conversation today. There's nothing disrespectful about that. It's really a way that we show our friendship to each other. So, Farlow, great to have you here today on the podcast.
Good to be here, Dr. Roden. I have to call him Doctor.
There. You know, the way we met is really, it's going to be a throwback. Some of you won't even know what we're talking about, probably. We met through what they call cassette tapes. I mean, that is like a dinosaur, I know. But that's how we met. So, well, why don't you just kind of tell them how we got acquainted with these cassette tapes? So, what was it back in the...
Yeah,
the 70s.
83, okay. Right after we were married. So Deb's parents, Lamar and Carolyn Ryback, attended West End Assembly of God. You had a tape ministry. They had these giant tape machines that were in the back of the bookstore. And at the end of every service, they would duplicate these tapes and they would sell them for a dollar or two, whatever it was. Well, my in-laws would purchase the tape every week and mail the tape. I don't think FedEx was around back then. To our house, and my ride to work was approximately 40 minutes from where we lived. And so Wednesday or Thursday, whenever I got the tape, I was listening to your sermon on my way to work every day. And then obviously, when we relocated to Richmond in 1989, we started attending West End Assembly. But yeah, it's kind of ironic and just amazing that what a racial relationship that started on cassette tape is now on a podcast. Anyway,
here we are. And what kind of work were you doing back in those days, Bob?
So my entire career is spent in automotive retail. So 41 years. I retired 2.5 years ago, but 41 years of that was spent in automotive retail in a various number of positions. 30 of those years as a owner, co-owner, or general manager in both Toyota and Ford dealerships.
So let's just do a little bit of timeline here. So Farlow moves to Richmond, and they start attending the church, and then in 1991, I moved to Fairfax, Virginia, to become the district superintendent. And lo and behold, Farlow moves to Northern Virginia.
What year? 1998.
All right, so he comes up to Northern Virginia. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? We're just kind of following each other around. And so he's over at Tyson's Corner at the Toyota place there. And so, again, we just kind of maintain our friendship. And, you know, one of the things I really have observed and appreciated about Bob and one of the things I wanted him to talk about today is how he always cared for the people that he served. I mean, his employees, it was always about the people, and he invested in their lives. He was a part of their lives, and they knew that he cared about them. But Bob, I want you to talk for a moment. How did you learn that? How did you learn to take care of people like that?
Well, you know, you got to give credit to mom and dad for sure. You know, the way I was raised and the time that I was raised in. But, you know, I tend to simplify what I read in the Bible, and for my own sake, nobody else's, but just a question I had years ago is, what is most important to God? What is most important to God? And the answer that he gave me was people are the most important thing to God. That's why he died and, you know, for our sins. And it's about us. It's about others. But it's not about you. A friend of mine, you know, said, kind of joking one day, it's like, listen, here's the key to success. Get over yourself. Everybody else already has. And so if you're a leader and you're a person in a position of influence, it is your job. I've always viewed it as my job to serve the people that I was placed in charge of.
So early on, you became a person of faith. You were brought up in a home that yes. honored the Lord. And yes. so you learned early on about what it meant to follow the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. At a very young age.
Yeah. So you brought your faith to the marketplace, let's say. You know, yes. that you're, in other words, it wasn't just a Sunday experience. You're living out your life of faith all week long, and the people you serve, the values that were a part of your life, that's all so cool. I remember when we were when I was doing a book called Four Faces of a Leader,
mm-hmm.
and you're in the last chapter of that book, and you give an illustration of how you serve the people and how you taught your own people, the people at the Toyota place.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're here to serve the public and we're here to try to give them hope when there doesn't seem to be some hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were having a massive recall of some
yeah, Toyota. If you remember,
tell us about that.
Yeah, wine, yeah, thanks for tearing that scab off. So you got to wind back to 2011 when they had the pedal crisis recall with Toyota, and nobody knew anything of what was going on. And I remember getting dressed that morning and watching the Today Show, and they announced it. And I was like, wow, this is going to be a really fun day at work. You know, people are going to be panicked. And so immediately with Debbie, I said a little prayer. I said, Lord, don't know what today brings. I know it's going to bring a lot. I'm asking for your guidance and direction of what I need to do. And amen. So I got in the car, driving to work and thinking about what needs to happen. Coincidentally, that particular morning, people from Toyota were going to be in the meeting that we were going to have, people from the regional office. And so I was like, wow, that's kind of a coincidence that they're there. But as I was driving in, it was like, take care of my people. Okay, what does that mean? It means take care of the people I work with, of course. And then, well, no, take care of the people. Because at that time, if you remember, it was a big unknown, and they're thinking cars were taking off unexpectedly, and people were panicking. And it was our job to interact with those people. So we got into the meeting. Folks from Toyota were there, obviously. They were confused and dazed as all of us, because it had come out of nowhere that this thing was announced. We immediately began making a list of how we could take care of our customers. And two of the things that came out of the many things that came out of that, but two of the things that were most pivotal that came out of that came from my service manager and my sales manager. My service manager said, we need to be open 24/7, 365 to address any concern a customer has. We're going to open 24 hours a day. Didn't know how we were going to do that. We're going to do that. The second one was, we're going to give every customer that doesn't feel safe in their car a car to drive, and wherever we got those from. And so we started down that road of answering. That week we answered 24,000 phone calls from concerned customers. When some other dealerships in the area weren't answering the phones, we were working around the clock. But out of that came this this sense and this feeling that we were doing, you know, God's work. We were taking care of people that were in crisis or felt like they were in crisis, and we were there to take care of them, no matter what that meant, no matter what that looked like. If people wanted to return their car, we were taking their cars back. If they, whatever the customer wanted, that's what we did. Fast forward about a month from that, the dealership received national coverage from NBC and ABC. For what we did with the 24/7 service. Fast forward another couple of weeks, Toyota sent us a check for $75,000 out of the blue to help us cover the cost of the rental cars. And so that was a ministry in and of itself to the people that worked there to say, wow, look how we did what we were supposed to do, and look what God did mm-hmm. in taking care of us and taking care of our customers and taking care of our business. So it was quite a several-month period of time, but it was wonderful, really.
Yeah. You know, I think it's so noteworthy that you said in the morning, you said a prayer. You know, our faith, it affects everything we do. So you said a prayer in the morning, and then when you get there, you're saying, God, you would guide us, and here a couple of your team members show up, and they have ideas. I think this is an important piece that we want to convey in this podcast today, is that that no matter where you are, who you are, your faith makes a difference.
Yes.
And for you, it made a difference in the car dealership and for thousands of other people.
Yes.
Bob, I remember going by the office there from time to time and just sitting down and talking with you and just asking you how you're doing. And we sometimes would say a prayer together. Mm-hmm. And you were a person that made a difference in the workplace. And that's what we, one of the things we really want to do.
Well, I think if we're men and women of faith and we're in the marketplace, you know, I was never one to run around and beat people over the head with my faith, but I was very, very aware of the things that we did and why we did them and explain the principle behind why we were doing something. It was all biblically based and people could figure it out if they wanted to. And sometimes I would tell them, you know, this is why we're doing this thing. And they would say, yeah, I knew that already. But I think it's important. Consistency to me is really the key in leadership. That, you know, if you talk to anybody that I work with, they would all say he was consistent. He didn't get angry. He had a side to him that was like, okay, we're crossing a line and we need to stop crossing that line with him. But I was consistent and I never lost my temper, always kept my temper or whatever. And when the heat gets turned up, you know, somebody said, you get to see the real person. And so the real person I wanted to show people was how God created me to be, which is caring for others, taking care of others, taking care of situations, fixing problems.
Yeah.
As we've often said, we're fixers. And so to do that, you have to be consistent and approachable.
So I'm going to jump in, Bob, and yeah. Or I should say Farlow. I'll take that. You know, you and I saw each other last when we did the interview with Mark Batterson, and there was this kind of moment when Mark shared the value that H had on him, Bob Roden. Oh. And, you know, I just, I don't think our listeners know this. Like, you were the biggest champion of saying, let's get Roden, let's get him a podcast, let's get him a website. And yeah. I just think it's so important, you know, for us to honor. What is it about Bob Roden that you just are so connected and inspired by and ultimately gives you hope? Because I think we're all looking either to find a Bob Roden or to be a Bob Roden in our life.
Yeah. Well, to say that Bob has been a blessing to my life and my family's life would be an understatement. And so that's number one. You know, all that Bob has done for me as a mentor to me, as a friend, as a pastor. I mean, he's filled so many roles in my life. But to your question of why, to me, it was just evident that the world needed to see what I needed, what I saw for a decade or two or more. And so I was encouraged after he wrote his first book to say, you know, wow, okay, we got a book out, and now we got a second book out, and it was just over a casual conversation that I had with him, and I said, hey, Bob, what about a website? And he's like, well, that was something that was supposed to happen, and that's, well, okay, we're going to fix that, and so it morphed into this website, and now a podcast, and now speaking engagements, and all the things, and for me, it's a blessing to see him energized at you know, this stage of his life to continue to do the things that he does, to bring forth the word in the way that he does and provide hope to people that need hope. We all need hope. And, you know, Bob, that's been like the pivot point of his life has always been his life verse is surrounded by hope. All right. I mean, it was important for me. And, you know, just so happened, you know, God doesn't make mistakes. Just so happened, I'm retired now. So I've got more time and a little more resources and some other stuff I can do to help. And so that's what we're going to do. So it's been fun to really watch it all come together. And with your help, Peter, Dan's, and everybody else, it's just been amazing for me. It's a blessing for me to be part of it.
It was about the time we were talking about that, Peter, that you called me. Out of the blue.
Out of the blue.
Said, hey, what are you doing? And we hadn't talked for maybe 10 years. And that really was a great confirmation to Bob that that we're supposed to move forward with this.
Yeah.
No, it's beautiful. Farlow, I'm going to drill a little deeper with you. So okay. Roden always says, your potential is my mission. What potential do you feel like was realized in your life from spending time with Roden?
Boy, that's a good one. So I would say several, but I would say the first thing that comes to mind is the example that he had set, both as a leader of the church that we attended, and then later as we got to know each other, the type of man and friend that he was. He's one of those people you want to be like when you grow up, right? For me, it was, man, I'd like to be like that when I grow up. And so I didn't really stalk him when I moved up to Northern Virginia. But we paid attention to that. And we're like, why does God keep putting us together in circumstances and situations? And so for me, it's just been, I want to be like Bob. I want to be that godly man that that he is. And I do my best to try and imitate that and maybe put my own little spin on it. But he's just inspirational when it comes to what a man looks like and what a friend looks like.
Yeah, let me jump back in here, Peter, and just say that, I moved back to Richmond in 06. And Bob, of course, moved back to Richmond in 08. And so here we are together again. And as I would go by and see him from time to time, we talked about, hey, what are you going to do, Bob, when you're not doing selling cars or managing a dealership anymore? And so out of that conversation grew the idea that maybe we'd be together in some ways. And it's really interesting that right now we have a monthly meeting with three other guys. There are five of us. Four of them are retired. And we meet together once a month. One's almost retired. We meet together and we meet at 7 o'clock once a month on a Thursday morning. And we just talk about life and where we are in life, what we're doing. And we meet at Farlow's house. Mm-hmm. We meet at his home. He gets the donuts and the coffee. And we all just come over.
Gotta have that.
Yeah, gotta have the donuts and the coffee. But it is, and all of us give a high priority to this meeting. Yes. I mean, it has become very essential in our lives. We encourage each other. We pray for one another.
Yes.
We carry each other's what burdens that people are carrying. We share things that are important for each other to know about. I mean, we text each other. It's pretty amazing how we talked about that. How in retirement we could continue to do
and
that.
For me, you know, I'm surrounded by this wisdom because I'm the baby in the room. not that much, but I'm a baby in the room, but it to be surrounded by godly men of wisdom and to just take that in and to learn from it and also contribute to it. And it's just a special time for all of us. Like you said, it's a priority on everybody's schedule. Once a month, we're having this meeting, and we've had serious prayer requests that needed, for families and other things that are going on in our life. And it's like, wow, we've turned into a prayer group almost, you know, for each other. And so it's been God puts things together for a purpose. You know, it's just always been, you can't see it in the beginning, but boy, you sure can see it as you're traveling down the road. And when you look back, you can definitely see it. So it's just been, wonderful.
It's been neat. And I went to one weekend when I was going away to speak, Bob came along, and it was just a pleasure to introduce him to this church and for people to see a friend. And he went back and took care of the book table and, you know, worked with people, saw them, and the people there absolutely loved him for his friendship and partnership. It's been a neat friendship through the years that God has given us. Mm-hmm. And I would just say to any people who may be listening to us today that are, you're thinking about your retirement years and what you might do, but find some friends that you can hang out with. I mean, that's important now. You probably have some friends even now that will carry over into those years. Find a way to connect with them.
Yeah.
Because you will share experiences that will bond you closer together, will help you as you think about life. And all of us need other people in our lives. We were never designed to be spiritual alone. Mm. It's about being with other people. Now, there's certainly our own spiritual formation that we have to take care of. But it's been with people like Bob Farlow and these other guys. It's absolutely awesome. As iron sharpens iron, as the scripture says, when we were together. It's really a key thing that we do together.
You know, one of the things we did years ago when Bob was at West End is we had this big musical production that we put on that touched, you know, 15, 20, 30,000 people a year. And so I would typically buy several hundred tickets to that event, and I would give them to employees. And it became kind of a regular thing with my employees. It'd be like, hey, do you have tickets to that play? Now, I don't know what God used all that for, but I know what he used some of it for. I know some people got saved. I know some people got their lives straightened out as a result of attending our church. So it's things like that that you can do in business where you're not preaching the word, or you're not, but you can certainly expose people to things like that in your local church that could help that person elevate and in some cases recover.
And let me add one other thing he did. My son was in a ministry that involved helping addicts recover and helping people who had needs. And so he got the idea of giving a car to one of these families that had a need. And so he calls Farlow. He says, hey, I got this crazy idea about maybe giving away a car. And Farlow says, I think we can make that happen. And sure enough, over the weeks, and we had a big Saturday night meeting where everybody came together and we presented this family with a car. It was awesome. I mean, the electricity in the room was so high. When you're thinking about, hey, this is what hope is about. That giving that family hope, and Farlow has been a key person in what he does in life, of seeing people who have a need, and he said, you know what, we can make a difference there. What a great friend and great testimony it is to God's work in his life that I've watched through the years.
Well, you know, there's an old saying, and it's true, you cannot give God. You cannot give God, you know, and when your hand is like this, with whatever you have, God can't put any more in there. But if you open your hand like this and say, here you go, boy, it's amazing what he can do.
It is amazing.
And so, you know, I would encourage people that, you know, to be a giver and to be looking for, look for God at work, you know, whether it's in a local church, whether it's in a ministry, whether it's somewhere. And you say, you know, that looks like God at work. Get involved in it. Get plugged in. Find out about it. And use your influence, both your whatever it is that you do for a living, and your treasure and your time to further God's work. There's nothing better. There's nothing better.
Yeah. So Bob wrote it.
Going for a long time here, Peter. Would jump out. You got a question? Something on your mind, Peter?
Oh no, yeah. This is my last question, and folks, you know, the Farlow and Roden are in Richmond. So when we're talking over each other, it's because I'm in Rochester and we're trying to cut the airwaves. So we do our best. But, you know, my last question to both of you is, Roden always says this, the people that know you the most should believe, or that know you the best should believe in you the most. What would you tell a 30-year-old about the hope that you find because you have great friends, knowing that many 30-year-olds right now, they're really busy trying to balance career, maybe even families and all this. So what would you say to them about finding hope with healthy and powerful friendships like yours?
You know, I think we need to be aware of who's around us. You don't have to force friendships. Some people try to force friendships. That doesn't work. But find people that there's a connection with. I mean, Farlow and I didn't try to force anything. We just liked each other, you know? And we also found out that we were both fixers. It was something that needs to be fixed. He hit work. He knows how to fix it. I became a church fixer as I was doing these churches, as I went to be an interim pastor trying to help them. So find people that you have a connection with so that there is there's reciprocity in friendships. You don't want to create a codependent relationship. You want to have a cooperative relationship where you're helping each other. I think that's really what it's about. There Now, there are people that we need to minister to, and that's a whole different category. I think friendships are about people that you can share with, you have confidence in, you have trust in. There's a lot of things that you find commonalities that you have. So that's what I would say to a 30-year-old. Find some people that fit that category. And I also say, Lord, would you lead me to the right people in my life? Lead me to the right people and just watch what he does. Watch what God will do. Pay attention to it. And I mean, you'll know when you're with somebody for a bit, you'll know whether or not it's to be continued. For instance, our friendship started in Richmond, went to Northern Virginia, came back to Richmond, and now here we are in retirement, and that friendship has continued to grow and solidify. So so starting when you're young, mm-hmm. find those people that you have a common interest with.
Mm-hmm. And to add to that, you can't say it any better than that, but to add to that, I would say it has to be intentional. And so, and to be aware of those people that Bob's talking about that are around you, that may share common interests, common goals, common beliefs, or whatever it might be, as a starting point. And then you have to force yourself to make the time, which is difficult to do, but force yourself to make the time. Maybe it's just, let's go catch a ball game together. Maybe it's, let's get the wives and the, if you're a married couple, let's get this couple together. But it has to be an intentional item that you put down and say, I'm going to connect. And as Bob said, we're not made to be alone. We're made to be connected. And friendship is, I'm blessed. I have probably 10 phone numbers on my phone that if I picked it up and I pushed a button and said, I need help, they would be there. Those are your true friends. And all of my true friends have spanned decades, not just years. But you got to start somewhere and make the time to be intentional would be my advice.
When we talk about being intentional, we bring they either bring their phones or I'm a dinosaur, I bring my calendar, my good, to the meeting on Thursday morning. We always set the next time when we're going to meet so that everybody has it. You have to make steps to make that happen. That's really, really key, I think, to when we talk about being intentional about this.
Well, sure. I'll give you both the final word. This has been the easiest interview I've ever done because you two just have so much friendship and chemistry, but I'll give you both the final word.
Well, let me turn to Bob first. Anything, just final things you'd like to say, Bob?
Well, I just, thank you for what you've been and meant in my life and for the time that we've spent together over the last couple of years now. It's just been, I feel like we're on turbocharge now. We're really, our friendship has gone to a different level, and I'm very grateful for that. And, for all that you're doing through the different mediums to continue to preach the word and to point people in a direction of hope. I'm just grateful that I'm able to be a part of it with you. And I really do, as we were talking before, we got on here, who knows where God takes it? Yeah. I mean, wherever God wants to take it, that's where he's going to take it. And he's already taken it some pretty cool places. So it's going to be a fun ride to watch the rest of it.
Well, I can't, the Lord has put people like you in my life, Bob, and it's been, you're a special friend. And, I want to thank you for just the time you've invested and the way you shared your life and with us. It's been really neat there. And not only do we meet on this once a month on Thursday morning, Bob had all of us to his house, all the couples to his house one night for dinner. We've talked about this year, all of us either going somewhere to dinner at a restaurant or maybe meeting another home. And again, that intentionality where you're together and you like being together. Because you like the other people that you're with. And that prayer support, that is the thing that really
huge.
is the power of strength in that for us.
Huge.
All the guys say, yeah. I know I can call any one of these five guys yep. and they can pray. They'll pray for me, whatever's going on.
Yep.
And that's that iron sharpening iron pieces. It is so cool.
Yeah.
And it is it gives all of us hope.
Yeah.
It gives us hope to know that we can call somebody and have them pray with us, and all of us can give testimonies that our God has answered prayer
yes.
as we've prayed for each other. And it is a joy to have friends.
Yes.
And Farla, We were a special friend.
The more friends, the better. But
absolutely,
it's great to have a friend like you. That's for sure.
Well, we're going to wind up here with a prayer. Peter, any final thing you'd like to say before we have a prayer and close off?
Yeah. I think you both said it very well.
All right. Good. Well, let's pray. I'll pray as we close, and then we'll wind it up here. Lord, thank you for the joy of sharing today. Thank you for what you put in our lives. I want to thank you today for Bob Farlow and friendship with him. Thank you, Lord, for all that I've learned from him and watching him and being with him. Thank you, Lord, for your work in his life. What a joy, Lord, to see you work in his life and to watch him grow in you. And as he serves other people, thank you, Lord, for his heart to serve. I pray, Lord, for the people who may be watching today who are kind of looking for someone to be with. Would you provide a friend for them, Lord, people they could be with? We ask you, Lord, for the joy of friendship to come to those who are watching this podcast today. Lord, we want to give ourselves to you again today. We offer ourselves, as the scripture says, to you again today. And whatever you ask us to do, Lord, we want to do it. Thank you, Lord, for these many trips around the sun, 81 times around the sun now. Lord, we will serve you until the day we die. We'll love you and walk with you. And thank you for the joy of knowing the people that you put in our lives, that you put them there. And we give you thanks for it now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us at Hope on the Rise. You can find out more at bobroden.com. Thank you so very much.